iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iMoney Show right here on iGlobal Radio. My name's Tony Patty and I'm joined today once again by Bhupinder Anand, who is the MD of Anand Financial Architecture, IFAs, based in Uxbridge, alongside Anand Wills and Trusts. He connects law, tax and financial planning to provide a holistic one-stop estate planning service. Bhupinder's skill is in simplifying the complex world of financial planning, helping clients to design their future financial home and then source the most appropriate financial furniture to achieve their goals. Today we're going to be talking about inheritance tax planning, and it's important that we find out what that's all about, because inheritance tax planning is quite a complex subject. Who pays it and when? How is it calculated? What allowances do we get and have? What are the rules on making gifts? And how should we make a gift to our children? And can we add children to our property to reduce our inheritance tax? So we are going to be discussing all of these subjects today with Bhupinder, who joins us right here on iGlobal Radio. Bhupinder, once again, a very warm welcome to you.
Thank you, Tony. Good to see you too.
So inheritance tax, what's it all about? What is inheritance tax and what is inheritance tax planning?
Right. Well, last time we had a conversation was about wills, which is more about how we're going to leave the planet in good order. Part of that leaving the planet in good order is leaving it such that we don't end up paying another tax after we've departed. So inheritance tax is probably the nastiest tax that anybody will ever come across. You see, we pay taxes all throughout our life, on income tax, on capital gains tax, on VAT, license tax, fuel tax, alcohol tax, all of it. And yet the taxman's still not happy. The taxman says, when you've died, when you've left the planet, I want up to another 40% of what you're worth. So inheritance tax is a flat rate of 40% of what you're worth.
And there's no escaping it. There's no escaping it.
Well, there's no escaping if you leave it too late.
Ah.
One of the other phrases about what is inheritance tax is it's a voluntary tax. What do I mean by that? Because tax is never voluntary. Inheritance tax is voluntary, meaning if you plan for it and deal with it, we can make it a voluntary tax. And so what you find is that people that have actually dealt with it in their youth, in their younger lives, not when they've left it to their 70s and 80s, is when they seem to think about it, have more choices of how to deal with it, have a cheaper way of dealing with it. And so what becomes a tax that is due on death is actually voluntary if you plan for it. If you don't plan for it, then actually what you're doing is saying to your children, I care about the tax man more than I care about you. Because I'm willing to give 40% of my estate away.
So we'll go into more detail about that, about who pays it, how we pay it, and whom do we pay it to, and the amounts that we pay. But what I'd like to ask you now, Bhupinder, is that who actually pays inheritance tax, and when do you pay it?
Well, it's going to be the people that inherit your wealth.
Okay.
So one would imagine your children or whoever it might be. So here's the thing. When somebody dies, there is an application to the government called a grant of probate. And on a grant of probate, you list all the deceased's assets. That list then goes to the taxman, who then does a calculation. The calculation broadly says, what are you worth, which includes everything, your home, other property, investments, cash, cars, everything you've got. Less some allowances. So there's some generous for some people, but increasingly it's catching more people. What do I mean by that? The first £325,000 of somebody's wealth is exempt. So if you're worth less than 325, inheritance tax is not going to bite.
Okay.
If you're worth more than that, it's the amount over that is taxed at 40%. So between a couple, that's 650,000 of allowance. And so that's fairly generous for the majority of the population. But increasingly what's happening is that the allowances are not going up. They've been static for about 10 years. But wealth is going up, which means it's catching more people. And so those allowances are going to become less meaningful as time goes on. There's a further allowance if you own your own home. That's a further 175,000. So that makes it 500,000 on top of the 325. Is 175 on top of the 325 is 500,000. And so between a couple of million. So it's a great headline that the government came up with. However, there's always a however, Tony. However, if you are worth more than 2 million, taking everything into account, then that extra 175 is eroded. You may not actually qualify for it. So your children end up paying the tax. Now, the worst thing is, in order to release the estate, they have to pay the tax first. So that means either they're going to have to find liquidity of their own. Let's say you're worth 1.325 million. I'm taking a convenient number here. 325 is in the allowance. That's a million at 40%, which is £400,000.
Which is a lot liquidity. Of money if you start doing the calculations on that, yes.
That's right. So if you've got to pay that 400,000, where are the children going to find that money? They may have to go to a bank who's going to charge them a fortune in interest because they know they're desperate, because the tax man won't release the assets until the tax has been paid. So you're in this catch-22 situation. You need the assets to sell them to pay the tax, but you can't sell them until you pay the tax.
Indeed. We are talking to Bupinder Anand, who is the Managing Director of Anand Financial Architecture, and we are today talking about inheritance tax planning.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal Radio is the brand new hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. News, views, interviews, wellness, money matters, and much, much more. Tune in to iGlobal Radio at iGlobalNews.com. And as we talk about figures and do some number crunching today, Bupinder, it's only right that you introduced us really well by some of the figures that you've just quoted a moment ago about the calculation of inheritance tax. How is it calculated and what are the parameters within which inheritance tax is calculated? Would you mind going into a little bit more detail about that so that the novice ones amongst us who don't know about inheritance tax can understand it properly?
Sure. So what you should do on a sunny Sunday afternoon is sit down and write down a list of everything you've got. What are you worth between you as a couple, if you are a couple? And whatever that number comes to, take off 650,000. Potentially, there might be another 350, but not everybody's going to qualify for that extra allowance. Take off 650. The number you've got left, get your calculator out, and times 40%. If that's a painful number, you now have a choice to make. Do you want to deal with it, or do you want to just leave it as a problem to your children? You see, here's an attitude that I come across quite often. And it is quite a number of Asians who think this way. Yeah, I came into this world with nothing. My parents didn't leave me anything, and I've made my own wealth. My kids can repeat it and do the same. To some extent, I get that. But what was the point of creating the wealth that you did? What was the point of building this empire? You know, I meet a lot of property people, for example. And when somebody says to me, I've got five properties, I say to them, no, you don't. You have three properties. You may have five in your name, but two of them, which is 40% of five, will be used to pay the tax on your entire estate. So on those two properties, you're the landlord for the tax man because the tax man's going to take the deeds on your death. Now let's really put the knife in, Tony.
Wow, yeah.
If that came to £1 million of tax and you had £1 million property that then had to be sold, let's say it was a buy-to-let, could be a couple of properties, but keep it simple, a property of £1 million that had to be sold to pay the tax of £1 million.
Mm.
Some people say, well, so what? It doesn't matter. The kids were still going to get the remainder of the estate. But I look at it this way. What's the loss to the estate? And a lot of people answer me, well, the loss to the estate is £1 million because I had to pay that as a tax. And I say, no, the loss to the estate is £1 million plus what was that £1 million property giving you before you died? 50 grand a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the loss to the estate is £1 million plus 50,000 a year forever. Why are you bothering working so hard if that's what you want to leave is a mess for your children and making the tax man wealthy?
Such an incredible way of looking at it. And when I asked about calculating inheritance tax, that's a huge wake-up call. Bupinder Anand is the Managing Director of Anand Financial Services, and he joins us today talking about inheritance tax. Bupinder, in terms of allowances, and you recently spoke about property investment and leaving property to your children and everything else.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal is one-of-a-kind multimedia platform for all things global Indian, from the latest community news to the big political interviews, from entertainment and fashion to personal wealth and wellness. iGlobal is where the vibrant Indian diaspora gets seen and heard. Log on at iGlobalNews.com.
There are allowances that we can make, but sometimes we might not know how we can actually use them to our advantage. Talk us through that, if you will.
Well, the easiest way of dealing, I say easiest because it's not easy, but the simplest way of dealing with inheritance tax is not to own anything. Yeah, so if you don't have it on death, it won't get taxed. So you can give your wealth away. But, and this is a huge but, if you give it away, you can no longer enjoy it. Now, we'll come back to that point because a lot of people, especially in our community, think that if I add my child to my property, for example, and I put their his or her name on 50% of my house, that I've given my house away. It doesn't work. If you continue to live and enjoy that property, it's called a gift with reservation. So one of the ways of dealing with inheritance tax is to give your wealth away. But if it was that easy, we'd just do it on our deathbed. So the tax man says instead, anything you want to give away, you must then survive 7 years in order for it to leave your estate. So if you die within 7 years, it's still part of your estate, added to your estate. A lot of people think if I give something to my child and I start the 7 year clock, but if you continue to enjoy it, no, you don't. I come across many people who give away, say, a buy-to-let property, give it to their child as a gift, but they retain the rent for themselves.
Yes, but that's you can't tell the reservation. You can't tell the future. I mean, I can't turn around and say that I'm going to leave my property to my children because I'm going to die in 7 years' time. There's no magic wand or sort of like future that we can look into to tell that. It's almost a catch-22 situation.
Yeah, and this is why people need to plan early.
Right.
And plan in a creative way. So one of the things could be you give things away on a practical level. Can you afford to give it away? The other issue around that is if you give something away like a buy-to-let property, even though no money changes hands, you trigger capital gains tax, which is 28% of any profit you've made. So be careful. A lot of people I've come across have given away property to their children, but not declared it for tax. Tax man's going to come and bite.
Hmm.
There are other allowances as well. So you can give away up to £3,000 a year, and that's immediately exempt, no seven-year clock. You can give away £250 per person to whoever, whatever number of people you want to. It's not going to make a big dent in your inheritance tax. There are investments that you could go into that after just 2 years of ownership are exempt. A bit complicated for this call, but they qualify for something called business relief. you could go into using trusts, which we're going to talk about in a future session. But trusts are a very creative way of you managing to move assets out of your name, yet still retain control, and a good way of protecting them for generations to come. Ultimately, for a lot of people, the ability to give things away is not so easy. And so one of the almost guaranteed ways of dealing with this is to buy life insurance. And it might sound really boring, but it's a way that actually works tremendously well if you combine it with great trust planning. So in our next session or one after, we will talk about trusts and how we might use it for life insurance, which is a great way of you not giving anything away, but giving a small amount away on a regular basis. Oh, by the way, there is another allowance as well, surplus income. So if you have income over and above your normal expenditure needs and you give that away on a regular basis, there's no 7-year clock. So you can give away regular spare income. Most people don't want to do that, but it might work for some.
That's really good news, because there are some hidden factors that we don't hear about day to day. And then as far as the rules are concerned on making gifts and looking out for those tax traps, as you speak of a moment ago, what are those rules?
Well, I said earlier on that the 7-year rule. So if you give something away, the 7-year rule is called a potentially exempt transfer. So it's called a PET. It's nothing to do with cats and dogs, but it's a potentially exempt transfer. It means it could be exempt as long as the 7 years have passed. So that's the main issue when you're giving something away. Now, giving cash away is the easiest thing to do because there's no capital gain. Giving a property away is not so easy, because you might have bought it for 100, it's worth 250. You give away the 250, but you trigger a gain of that difference of 150 and pay tax on it. However, you could use a trust. Don't want to get too technical, but if you move property into trust, you can hold over the gain into the trust, so you don't pay the tax yourself. Very clever way. A lot of people don't know about this. It's called holdover relief. So it's a good way of giving physical assets like property away and not having to pay capital gains tax.
We are talking to Bhupinder Anand, who is the MD of Anand Financial Architecture. And today we are discussing inheritance tax planning.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
You talk about tax traps, as it were, and financial planning and the rules on inheritance tax. But say, for example, I need you to make a gift to my child. And I know you've gone into some detail about this already, like if I've got a property or a buy-to-let property, which I'd like to then gift to my child, there are certain tax implications surrounding that. So how can we and how should we make gifts to our children?
Well, the reality is we should never make any gifts to our children at all. Now, we should not even leave anything on death to them.
Sounds pretty mean. That sounds mean.
Yeah. What I really am getting at is that we should be using trusts to pass down our wealth. So that's going to be a deeper session another time. But if a lot of people might give some money to their kids to help them out, to maybe put down as a deposit on a property for themselves. But the minute you pass wealth to your children, not only does your 7-year clock start, but you've passed your wealth to a child, which means all you're doing is passing your inheritance tax problem to them. Additionally, you've got the issue that if something went wrong in that child's life, such as divorce, bankruptcy, your gift to them could be lost. A better way to do that is to pass your gift through a trust. You can be a trustee, so you're still in control. But if you want to give them a cash gift, you put it inside a trust. And then the child takes an interest-free loan with no monthly payments from that trust. That way, they've got the money, but they owe it back to the trust. And the trust goes for generations, by the way, not just for one generation. It's for grandchildren, great-grandchildren.
Who is that trust owned by, Bhupinder?
It's owned by yourself.
Okay.
So you set it up. You are the trustee. You control it. and you set it aside for beneficiaries. Now, you can't be a beneficiary if you're the person who put the money in, but you're doing it for your children. But what you're doing is protecting that wealth. You're protecting it against things going wrong, but you're also protecting it for the next generation to avoid paying inheritance tax on it when they die. So whenever I'm talking to anybody, one of the first things I ask them for is a family tree. And they kind of look at me, why do you need to know about my parents? Even if, you know, I'm talking to middle-aged people who've got elderly parents. Point being, if your parents are wealthy and they're going to leave you money, all they're going to do is exaggerate and make worse your own inheritance tax position. So if you're the recipient of their wealth, you should be saying to your parents, I don't want anything today, but eventually when the day comes, I also don't want anything, but I want you to send it to a trust. That way, your own wealth is not being increased. So this is creative planning to avoid inheritance tax by avoiding your own estate getting bigger, but still having control over it.
That is understood, but how can we actually add our children to our property to, in fact, reduce the inheritance tax, given the fact what you've already told us, but we need to still add our children to our property portfolio?
Well, if it's your own home and you add your child thinking you've started the 7-year clock, that's not going to work unless you pay the child rent for living in your own house. Okay. And then, of course, that child pays income tax on that rent. So anybody who's watching or listening to this that has added their child to their own home, thinking you've started the 7-year clock, and I guarantee, Tony, there are people watching and listening to this who have done this, because I see somebody every 2 days that has done this. You need to get advice. You need to realize your 7-year clock has not started. Worse than that, however, by adding your child to your home, you now carry risk that if something goes wrong in your child's life, you could get kicked out of your own house. Be careful. If it's an investment property, then coming back to that point, you can no longer enjoy the rent if you give it to them. Give it to a trust. And actually, when we talk about trust next time, you can even then make that rent tax-free.
Thank you for listening to iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com.
Bhupinder Anand, you are the Managing Director of Anand Financial Architecture. Today we've been discussing inheritance tax planning. And for the benefit of those who want to find out more about inheritance tax planning, its pitfalls and advantages, what do people need to do to get in touch with you and get further advice on this subject?
Thank you, Tony. So a lot of people might think if it's to do with tax, I need to go and talk to an accountant. Reality, most accountants don't get involved in inheritance tax frequently enough. You know, they know about it, but they don't know how to deal with it. You need to talk to somebody that can bring together law, tax, and financial planning, which across my two businesses I do. So if you want to contact me, I'd be love to hear from you and consider your own estate and how we can best manage it. My phone number is 07949 161 241, or you can email me, my first name, Bhupinder, Bhupinder, at Anand, Anand, Associates, plural, .com. Bhupinder at AnandAssociates.com. Love to hear from you. And let's get this planning started before it's too late.
Please note, past performance is not a guarantee of future performance. All investments can fall as well as rise in value, and you can lose some or all of your money. Additionally, this podcast does not constitute an investment recommendation.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.